That's right.
So, Alpha Team, you guys, I'm sure I've already met with your leaders, Danny and Jamie, and they've gotten with you guys and told you everything that's going to be happening this weekend. So, guys, we're praying for Alpha Team as they go up to Nebraska. And then for everyone else here on Saturday from 1 to 3, we're going to meet up. We're not going to have lunch this time, so eat something if you're really hungry before. But we're going to have, like, some snack stuff to just snack on. And then after that, we're going to get together and play some, or do some devotions and stuff like that, and then play some games and just hang out while the other team, while the Alpha Team is up in Nebraska. So please come out to that. That's Saturday from 1 to 3. And then, what's the, car wash. Who knows when the car wash is? Kenzie.
July 1st.
Is it first? July 1st.
Lauren's birthday.
Lauren's birthday. Woo!
Three D's
off your birthday.
I was going to say
three days after. Oh, it's like, you get like graded on your birthday or something like that? Okay. Can't you get an A on that? All right. All right, well, good deal. Yeah. Anybody else have something to throw out there? Any news from amongst you all? Lauren has an announcement.
Monday the 26th.
Hey, listen up, guys. Lauren's got an announcement.
Monday, June 26th, there's a youth night at our house, and it's at 6 o'clock, and we'll have pizza.
All right. Did you guys hear that?
Monday, June 26th at 7 o'clock. I should probably type this.
And what time did you say, Lauren?
Six. And it's like a prayer night for the
Lord. Just said
his prayer counselors.
Brazilian. All right, guys, go ahead and stand on your feet. Let's pray. Let's get started.
We're getting a foreign exchange.
All right, let's have Kaylin. Kaylin, I want you to lead us in prayer, and we'll get our song service started, and we'll go from here. All right, Kaylin, go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'd like to thank you, praise you for the Lord Jesus, and Lord, I'd just like to ask you to give Zach the words to say, and that we all just open up our hearts and minds and just soak in what he's going to tell us, and that we just apply it to our lives and throughout the week, and that you just keep us safe and let us do these things to further our ministry, and thank you for everything that you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're going to sing number 1 and number 45, so have number 1 and have number 45 ready to go, same melody and a little different words. Oh, worship the King, and then ye servants of God. Number one first, and then we're going to sing number 45. All right, oh, worship the King. Here we go.
Oh, worship the King of glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is of light, whose canopy he saves. His chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends. thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercy's house tender hath firm to the end, our Maker, Defender.
All right, number 45, verse 1.
Ye servants of God, your Master proclaim, and publish abroad his wonderful name. The name of victorious of Jesus his soul. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. God ruleth on high, almighty to save, and still he is nigh, his presence we have. The great congregation his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God, who sits on the throne. Let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus the angels proclaim. Fall down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give Him His right. And power and wisdom and might, all honor and blessings with angels above, and thanks never ceasing in heaven above. Then let us adore and give Him His right, all glory and power and wisdom and might, all honor and blessings with angels above, and thanks never ceasing in infinite love.
All right, look to your right. Passing out complete and leave. Let's sing that. We're going to try to refresh ourselves on a lot of these songs. So they're not surprising us. Like, yeah.
All right, we just got the share. Oh, it's sorry.
Okay. I need one.
Yeah, we're short. So if you don't have one, get close to somebody that does.
Close to somebody.
All right. Complete in thee. Here we go. On the first.
Complete in thee, no work of mine may take thee, Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and I am now completely justified. O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and glorified I too shall be.
All right, let's sing verse 1 again. What a song for someone your age to sing, complete in thee. A lot of you guys, like AJ, just graduated. He's going to be figuring out what he's going to be doing next in life. Probably already has a handle on it, really, because he got the right perspective and started at a very young age. But what a thing to boast about, complete in thee. You know, I know people that are 58, 60 years old right now that still don't feel like they found fulfillment in life. But what a thing to have this at such a young age, to find your completion in Jesus Christ and to get started on that work that he called you to do and that he brought you into existence for. Ask yourself that while we're singing this song. Are you complete in Him, or do you still rely on things in this world to get fulfillment from? Of course, we all do. We all going to grow through that. But at the end of the day, we should know where our true fulfillment comes in. Let's sing verse 1 again. Here we go.
Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered reign within. supply, and no good thing to me deny. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more.
Verse number three again. Verse number three.
Complete in thee is one supply, and no good thing to me deny. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more. Complete in thee, yea, justify, a blessed thought, and sanctify salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorify I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand complete in me. Yea, justify, O blessed thought, and sanctify salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified.
All right, verse number four, back up the ladder.
Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand complete.
Verse number three.
Complete in thee each one supply, and no good thing to me deny. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more. Complete.
Verse number two.
Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete.
On the first.
Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me,
and I am now,
and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Hey, good job. You guys are singing out tonight. All right. On the left side now, pass those down to the person on the far left. I know my name is there. It's kind of a hot holler. All right. All right, here we go. On the bird. Yeah, let's get it going. Let's get it going. Here we go. Wait, let me see if I can turn this fan on. Yeah, I know. I'm worried if you turn this fan on, like, the propeller would come off and kill us all.
Okay, Zach, you gotta push the button.
Where this?
No, the front button.
The front.
The front? Oh, that, there it is. That's what I'm looking for.
All right. Push it up in my direction.
I think it has a weak neck.
It's got a weak neck. It's a broken giraffe.
Alright. Here we go. A little oscillation. Alright, here we go. Verse 1. My name. Oh, man, it's going to be high. It's going to be really high. Oh, no.
My name.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife, and read
Okay, we need to sing this song like we actually know our name is there, all right? If you've been saved, you know for sure where you're going when you die. You got to sing this song like you know it. Here we go, verse one again.
My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and bring my title.
Days of my life.
days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare.
Verse number two.
He restored my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. Cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Love lifted me.
Hey, Zach, do you know 242? We sang it like a few Sundays ago, but I don't remember it, like how the melody goes or whatever you call it.
I like this one.
No, I don't really know that.
Okay, we sang it a few Sundays ago. I didn't know if you, like, you got a background on it.
So. Just tell them to show up, Zach.
It's good. It's good. It's good. All right, here we go. 441. Here we go. On the first.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, not saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. The love so mighty and so true merits my soul for song. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. Jesus completely saved. He lifted me by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love.
Do you guys remember 112?
Oh, wonderful grace of Jesus.
I'm asleep. Look at here. This is regenerated.
No, not that. We got to know that.
Only one scar.
116.
No, I
don't.
Oh, I know that one.
This
yep, I know.
Alright, 116, here we go. You guys familiar with this one?
Sort of.
I know Logan, I've really played it before. Alright, I'll save your hand now, wounded. Alright, here we go, verse number one.
Oh, sacred hand now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down. Now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown. How art thou held with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn?
Father, thank you for the time we get to come together tonight to learn your word. Lord, I thank you for what you put on Aaron Crust's heart tonight that he's going to share with us. I look forward to getting everything that you have prepared for me, Lord. I just pray and ask that each one of these kids now would just give you a chance tonight, Lord. Take their hearts and their minds and their attention, Lord, and whatever distractions might have been in their life before and the moments leading up to this, God, I pray that you would just give them power and grace to control those things and put things aside, Lord, to hear what the creator of the universe will have to say to their hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak through Aaron and give us the blessing that we're looking for. Pray and ask these things in your son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Well, hello.
Hello. What was your color?
How are we doing? Good. Staying cold? Staying cool?
No.
It's hot.
It's really hot.
It's hot.
It's like a sun.
Who has a job here?
Yeah. Me.
Woo.
Who's working outside here?
Woo.
Working outside, huh? No? No? Okay.
Yeah. I get paid.
I used to work down at a place called Gerdau. We used to work in this warehouse. No air conditioning. I had to wear a hard hat, forearm protectors, sweet glasses, all right, jeans, boots, a vest, all that in 100 degree heat with no AC, no, yeah, it was not.
If you work outside, of course there's no AC.
And now I work in a comfortable air-conditioned office, and I go out to the warehouse, and I'm like, man, it's kind of hot out here. You got to watch out what you say people out working out there are just like, okay, go back in the office, guys. But tonight, I'm super stoked to talk to you guys tonight about what kind of God kind of put in my heart to really present tonight. It's about perseverance. Who knows what perseverance is? Perseverance. Yes, sir, in the back, gingerly raising your hand.
Like not giving up on something and staying with it.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. The definition I have is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. All right, so basically what he just said. Overcoming incredible odds. Overcoming any odds, for that matter. And so you hear perseverance a lot out in the world, a lot to do with like war stories. You know, guys who just overcome crazy stuff. The movie that we went and saw with the church, I think it was called Broken or Unbroken. And the guy who was the Olympic runner, he was stranded out in the ocean for 45 days. He was a POW with Japan. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And he overcame that. I think he lived at like 82 years old. Like, are you kidding me? That's nuts. That's perseverance. One of my favorite movies growing up was called Cool Runnings. Who's heard of Cool Runnings? About five people in here, yeah. So it was about Jamaican bobsled team. Bobsledding is a winter Olympic sport. And obviously in Jamaica, you don't have winter time. And so these Olympic sprinters never made it to the actual Olympics, so they started doing bobsledding. And these two guys, Therese and Sanka, all right, basically around the movies. And while they're practicing, they're crashing and everything. They're not really going anywhere. And every time, Therese would be like, Sanka, you dead? And he's like, yeah, man, I'm dead. And throughout the whole movie. And at the end of it, they're actually making it to the Olympics. They're on the last corner. They're going to win the gold medal. And they crash. And Sanka's like, Therese, you dead? And he's like, nah, man, I'm not dead. I got to finish the race. And they pick up the sled and they carry it across. That's perseverance. Always sticking with it. Saying, no matter what, I'm going to stand and I'm going to do what I need to do. I heard a story a few weeks ago. I think it was actually last week. Will told me the story that he went over to his parents' house and Brady was over there. And Brady was standing next to the couch and his grandmother says, Brady, sit on the couch. And he doesn't do anything. And she's like, Brady, sit on the couch. And Will's like, well, you better sit on the couch. And he doesn't say anything, but he starts to like, word something, and they're like trying to make it out like, what are you saying? He's like, I will. I will. And she's like, you will what? And he was like, I will keep standing. And Will said, man, you couldn't believe the fast how she grabbed the spoon and went downstairs. And he probably wouldn't be sitting down anymore after beating on the butt. But that's how we should be with God. That's how we should be in our walk with him. That we're never going to stop standing, all right? You don't be disobedient to your grandparents or your parents, but you got to be obedient to God, and he told us to stand. So when we simply get faced with tests or trials or a trial of faith or being tried for our faith, God puts us through those things for us to grow. And sadly enough, we end up failing those tests. Right? We let God down. Right? We let God down because of our own stupidity, but our own ways of wanting to do things. James 1:12-14 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, meaning evil temptation. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. You see there? We take the trials and tests that God puts us through and we make it a temptation of evil because we fail. Because we want to do our own thing. And that's going to happen in life. We're in a race, right? Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We're in a race. As soon as I became a Christian, I'm a race. I have been in a race for 4.5 years. But I'm in a race against time, because if we don't have very much time left. So every little moment counts. And so ever since I got saved, like my friend Forrest Gump said, ever since that day, if I was going somewhere, I was running. And we're in a race against time. Time is not, it can be on our side, but time can definitely be against us. And time is definitely something that God has trusted us with outside the gospel, probably number one. And whenever we fail God, there's some things that we need to make sure that we learn so we don't do it again, right? So our text tonight is actually going to be in Joshua 7, so you guys can turn there now. So in Joshua 7, AJ kind of went over this a few weeks ago at our youth event, and Zach kind of hinted on it a couple weeks ago in the youth group. So in Joshua 6, the nation of Israel goes into Jericho. They get a great victory, right? The Lord tells them exactly what to do to get the victory, and they do it, and they get a great victory. And so now they're kind of puffed up a little bit. They're thinking that they're big in their britches, so to speak. But Achan sinned, right? He took the cursed thing, hid it under his tent floor. But somehow, Joshua doesn't know that. Why doesn't he know that? Well, let's find out. So Joshua chapter 7, I'm going to read here in verse 1. We're going to go down through here. So it said, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the cursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent from men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. Now let's stop there and let's look at this thing here. So Joshua sends out men. They just came off a great victory, right? And these men give him advice. And he never asked anything at the mouth of the Lord. He never asked counsel from God. And he messes this up again a couple chapters later, too. So maybe he's kind of hard to learn the lesson, kind of like we are. We're hard to learn lessons in life from our mistakes. But you got these guys who Joshua is listening to. But if you're going to listen to people, that's fine. As a leader, as a Christian, you should be good at the art of listening. You should be able to listen to other people's problems, right? But you always have to have a principle behind exactly what you're going to do. There was no principle that said Joshua only send up 3,000 men. God said, smite them all. Kill them all. Get rid of them. That's what they were supposed to do. But Joshua said, well, we're off a great victory here, and you know we're kind of tired, so we need to rest here. So some of the new recruits need to get kind of broke in, so we're going to throw 3,000 men at it. I always kind of wondered if those spies that went up and said, let's send up 2,000 or 3,000 men, wonder if they actually went. I doubt it. But whenever they do this, obviously it said that some men died. If you don't follow the principles of the Word of God, some people are going to die spiritually. Right? Some people are going to die spiritually if we don't take heed to the book, take heed at the mouth of God, and try to listen to other people. Some of our friends. maybe even some of our family, maybe even some of our church family. They give you bad advice, and that's outside the Word of God. If you do that, you're going to get in the mess, kind of like what Joshua is in now. But in verse 6, let's move on here. So in verse 6, Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. And the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" What a big jump. You got one of the smallest cities that just whooped just 36 people. I know you just killed some people, but 36 people. And now you're jumping so far ahead to say everybody's going to get wiped out. By AI? Wow. He's got some perspective issues. Joshua puts it back on the Lord. You see that? Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, where hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan and deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" He puts it on God. It's sin in the camp. Joshua's the leader. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So why isn't he looking inwardly? Why isn't he looking inward to the camp? Why isn't he saying, "I wonder why God isn't with us right now"? Because he said that everybody was going to be destroyed. He said this is the land that he's already given us. So something's wrong. But no, he didn't ask that. He just put it back on the Lord. When something happens in your life that maybe, that could be your problem and your result of your inability to see things through the Word of God, and we fall and fail, some people do one of three things. You request God, so you actually ask the Lord, "Man, what's going on? Wonder if it's me. Wonder if you can help me out here. I need some help." You request God. The second person, which is Joshua right here, he requites God. Requiting means to return it back. He gives something back. He turns it right around on God and said, "I'm not the problem. Obviously, you got the problem, Lord. You told us to come in here and you said that you were going to protect us." Yeah, well, it was a conditional blessing. You weren't supposed to touch the accursed thing, Joshua. And then some people just replace God with the weight. With the weight that was already supposed to be dropped off. You know, sometimes the weight's the your friends you hang out with. Sometimes the weight's the music you listen to. Sometimes the weight is the gaining the worldly knowledge you got. Sometimes gaining too much Bible knowledge. All these things could be not sin. Maybe some of the sports that you got, it's overtaking your life. Playing sports isn't a sin, but getting it outside of moderation is. So the weight is dragging us down, and we need to get it off. And it's kind of funny, the last time we saw this attitude that Joshua has was when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They were thinking that God brought them out to the Red Sea to destroy them. God brought us out to the wilderness to starve to death, to be thirst to death, right? "You're not providing us flesh. You're not providing us water. All we got is this manna." Moses goes up on the mountain. He's up there. He's supposed to be there for 40 days. And the people start worshiping other gods, thinking that God left them without a leader. We tend to just turn our backs to God way too much. We put him back on the back burner. We put him back on the back porch. And we visit him every time we want. You know, I had grandparents growing up that lived with us at my dad's house. And they were smoking. And they didn't smoke in the house, but they smoked in the back porch. Sometimes, a lot of times, things that get done on the back porch aren't good. The problem is that my grandparents probably visited the back porch more than I visit God sometimes. But let's move on. Verse 10 said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned,
and they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Get thee up. Stop crying, Joshua. Look at verse. Where is it? Verse 6. It said, Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. All day long he was just crying. He was crying. He was boo-hooing all over the place all day long until evening tide. And finally God just had enough, man. He's just like, get up. Get thee up. Stop crying. There's something that needs to be done here. There's obviously something wrong here, Joshua, and I'm not it. There will be a point in your life where God's going to say, stop crying. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you keep doing the same stupid stuff you're always into? Trust me, he's definitely said it to me multiple times. You know what's going on and what the real problem is, and why aren't you handling it? You know, when I first got saved, he didn't really say that to me. But after a while, you start hearing the preaching. You come in every Thursday and Sunday. You start learning memory verses. You go through discipleship. You're hanging out with the fellowship of the believers. And you're still doing the stupid stuff. Why? We don't have time for this, he says. Joshua, we're in the enemy territory now. We're in the promised land. We're in the land that I need you to be on your P's and Q's, your A game at all times. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. We are in the enemy territory, whether you know it or not. There is a person, a spiritual being, that is do anything to get a soul in hell. Didn't get your soul if you're saved here tonight. If you're unsaved, you got no clue if he's going to get it or not. I guarantee you that you don't know that if you're unsaved here. But he says, we don't have time for this, Joshua. Remember I said that time is the one thing outside the gospel that we're entrusted with. We're entrusted with the time that we have, and it's not very much. And you guys are young, and I know you guys are thinking that, you know, eternity has already started and that you're always going to live forever. But that's not true. And God says, so why are you coming to me with this issue? Shouldn't you know the answer already? See, it says Joshua fell to the earth. There's going to be times where we fall. We are going to fall. Falling in the sense of failing God. There's going to be times when we're weak. There's going to be times we're out of fellowship. There's going to be even times where you're going to be trying to talk to God and he's not 100 miles away. And why is that? Why is it that we always get back to the same place that we don't want to be back into? There's something missing. It says, wherefore let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Because Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we have to take heed to things. We have to take heed to the promises of the Word of God. We have to keep those short accounts with God on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, and sometimes even by a second-by-second basis. And that is so sad, but it's true. Man's depravity is so bad that that's why God had to send His only Son to get the righteousness that we would never ever get. So you have to confess it. If you're dealing with sin, you got to confess it. Confess it, judge it, put it under the blood, and never touch it again. You always have to view sin like God sees it. He hates sin. He hates it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And He'll never want anything to do and work through us if we have that sin in us, because we're never going to be able to grow. God doesn't care about your going. God cares about your growing. Are you wanting to grow with me? Are you wanting to get better with me? He doesn't care about all the things we do for Him. If we're never growing inside, you're not really doing anything anyway. So why do we have to keep fellowship with God? Why do we always have to just just keep short accounts with God, Aaron. Why do you keep asking yourself questions like somebody's asking you a question while you're preaching? I do that all the time. So why do we have to do that? Because fellowship has to be restored for the battle to go on. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. So Joshua gets the sin thing resolved. Kills Achan, his family, and all of his belongings. Gets it resolved. And look at verse 1 here. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. Fear not. Don't let your past failures dictate your life. Don't let your past failures with God dictate how you're going to live for God. Confess it. Judge it. What does judge it mean? Learn from it. Learn from it. Get it under the blood and never touch it again, but always remember the lesson that God taught you through it. Always remember the lesson that God taught you through it. Proverbs 24:16, great verse. For a just man falls 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Psalms 37:23-24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. God wants to teach you some things. Through the tough times that you have, through the trials you have, and a lot of times through the failures you have. But the greatest quality, this is the good point here. The greatest quality of God is one of restoration. God wants to restore you. God wants you to be back into a place where He can work through you. But you gotta understand learning from the mistake. You gotta be smart for it. Because God ultimately understands our flesh problem. We have a problem. And most of the time when we meet resistance, whether it be as a Christian, not Christian, most of the time when people meet resistance, they give up. They give up. It's really funny how guys and girls are really different in this area. Girls, you know, they'll try like a new recipe and they'll fail and like, I'm not gonna do it again. I'm not gonna do it again. And they'll try like a sport or maybe like a video game. It's just like, I'm not good. I'm not gonna do it. I'm just not good.
You really underestimate us.
What? I make a good girl. Yeah. But guys are totally opposite. Guys will keep going and going and going, and they'll keep messing it up, messing it up, messing it up. Why? Because of our pride, man. You can't tell me I can't do something. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You look like a fool, but I'm going to do it. And that's just the way we work. But God understands our flesh problem, and He understands that we try to give up. You know, in the Old Testament, you might get away with saying, well, God doesn't understand where I'm at. God doesn't understand. You might get away with that. You might. Doubtful, you would have never got away with it, really, but you might. But in the New Testament, what does Isaiah 53 say? That Christ was acquainted himself with grief to ultimately show us that he truly understands where we're at. Christ knows the things that we're going through because he went through them. He went through them. He got the victory over them. And we're weak. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. So that's why we need Him to show us the way, just like He overcame it. We can overcome it through Him, through the Word of God. In the Old Testament, men always kept the battle going, kept the battle raging when fellowship was restored. Because they trusted in the promises. God gave them some promises. God gave them promises saying, this is going to be the land. I'm going to give it to you. It's already been given. Just trust me, and we're going to go. And there were some promises that God gave them, and so they kept going because of the promises. Because God keeps His word. But we have to do the same thing. Right? So how do we keep from falling all the time? How do we do that? Huh? So let's turn over to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You ever see this? In verse 3, according as his divine power hath given. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us. That's past tense. God has already given us the promises that we need in this book. God has given us all those things. They're exceeding. They're great. They're precious. You know, we always have the system of sevens, right? System of sevens. God's systematic theology. System of sevens. So you got the seven judgments, seven baptisms, seven resurrections. You got seven things that changed about you the day you got saved. Like, all those things are already given to us. Right? He gave it to us through the body of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and through this book. So we have it. We have it right here. Hello. It's right here. But there's some things that are required of us that we need to get. That maybe we need to add some things. God gave every man a measure of faith. But we need to add to that faith if we're ever going to be successful with God. Let's move on here. In verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Virtue. Virtue is high morals. Virtue is doing what's right, even when you don't want to. Doing what's right, even when you don't want to. You know, one time we have reach trucks, we have forklifts at our job. Everybody know what a forklift is? Okay, thank you. I was just making sure. And you're not supposed to stand up on them. I used to be a picker, so I would pick things out of a rack and put it on a pallet. Well, sometimes they'd be up top, so I had to climb. I would climb on this forklift. Not supposed to do that. Take this blade pallet and stick it on the top and jump down and grab it off. And that way I didn't have to go up and get it down and take it off the pallet and put it back up. It was a lot of time. Well, one time I did that and it fell through the top part and it broke the handle of the forklift. And those things are like $1,000 a piece. And I'm like, oh no. So I take it to maintenance and the maintenance guy's like, oh, I'm going to have to call Paul on this one. He was my supervisor at the time. And so Paul comes over, and Paul's like, I think I'm going to have to call it in. What do you want to do? I'm like, and so in my head, I'm thinking, I got two unsaved men in front of me. I got two unsaved men. I could totally, and Paul was cool enough to, I would say, nah, don't call it in, man. Just don't do it. And he wouldn't do it. He was that type of person. And I'm thinking, I got two unsaved men in front of me. How in the world am I going to say, don't call it in? I have to say call it in. So I tell him to call it in. He doesn't do it. He says, no, I'm not going to call it in. But that's on him after that. That's on him. He decided not to do it. But I told him to do it. But it's one of those things where, man, doing what's right would have its consequence. Would have had its consequence. I would have gotten in big trouble. But didn't never happen. But always doing what's right, even when you really don't want to do it. Because even when you do what's right, when you don't want to do it, afterwards, you're just like, wow, I'm glad I did that. I'm so glad I didn't listen to my stupid self and just trusted in the principles. So virtue is starting to do something for him in the ministry. Doing right. Doing something for him in the ministry. God calls us, after we're saved, to just start doing something. Doesn't tell us to get a whole bunch of, you know, Bible knowledge. Doesn't tell us to, you know, learn all the all the things in discipleship right away. Just start doing something in the ministry. Be here when the doors are open. That's pretty easy. The doors are already open. It's not locked. I have a key, you guys don't, so come when it's unlocked. But start doing something. So the next thing. So he says, get virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. That would be the knowledge of God. Not the knowledge of the world. The knowledge of God. Getting down the basics of Scripture. Getting down the book. Who in here has ever played Call of Duty?
Yeah, I like Call of Duty.
I don't play it at home anymore, but when I have a chance, I play. How do you learn the maps on Call of Duty?
Playing. And I was playing Call of Duty one time, and I was just like,
it was a new map package that came out, got it, and that's exactly what I thought. I was like, how do I learn these maps? I just keep going through them. How do I learn the book? Go through it. Get it down. Over and over. I would play, respawn, play again. By that time, you know, 5-6 hours passed by. I could probably count on one hand how many times I looked up and 5 or 6 hours has passed by with me in the Word of God. That's saying something. And it's not good. So the knowledge of God. You got to get the knowledge of God. Because you have to understand how He's starting to look at you. How He's starting to see other people. How He's starting to view things that are totally different and strange to the world. And how we used to think. So when we're saved, we have the ability to do that. So the third thing. So after you start doing something in the ministry, you start, you know, learning discipleship, learning some scripture, maybe getting some memory verses down. And to acknowledge temperance. Temperance is just balance. You start learning to balance at a very early start. Because it's easy to get out of balance. It's easy. Because once you get that knowledge, man, you start puffing yourself up. You're like, woo, I got knowledge. Look at all this stuff I'm learning. This is great. But you got to have a zeal with that knowledge. You got to have some kind of inside desire to want to tell people about God. Tell them about the Bible. Show them in the Scriptures. Do whatever you got to do. But have a balance to it. You can't do a sport. I can't play baseball and be a great baseball player if I'm just hitting all the time. Yeah, sure, DHs do it. But they didn't just hit to be a DH. They had to do a lot of other things to move up to that point. I got to be on defense and offense. I got to be able to play both sides in baseball, in any sport, if you really want to be a good player. So if you want to be a good child of God, if you want to be a good soldier for God, if you want to be like the nation of Israel after they got the victory, you got to have a balance. So number four is, and the temperance, patience. So after you start getting the balance, then you start getting a little bit patient. Remember over there in Hebrews it says, let us run with patience. Now, how do you run with patience? How do you run and be patient while you run? It was kind of weird. But you know, after you run for a while, and this is a very short time in my life where I ran enough to feel this. But after you run, man, you just start kind of relaxed. You're relaxed while you're running. And I would run like 3, 4, 5 miles at a time. And you're just kind of like, man, this really isn't that bad. You know, and you're just kind of, wow, okay, sweet. You start to have patience. I'm actually like looking around, you know, while I'm running. And instead of like looking at each square of the sidewalk, you know, as I keep going, like, just to that line. But make sure you're soaking up everything God has for you. Make sure you're being patient. Make sure you're watching for the things that He's trying to teach you. And I'm not just talking about me preaching to you right now. I'm just saying, in general, make sure you're being patient in the things of the Lord. So number five, it says, and the patience, godliness. Godliness is a very easy word. God-likeness. like God. So we have to become like God. This is not a natural thing, as you probably already know. We don't naturally do the things of the Lord. We don't naturally follow the principles of the Word of God. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the Lord. Receives it not. We have to be unnatural and not in a bad way. We have to be supernatural by the Holy Spirit of God. Because now God sees us through the blood. God sees us through the Holy Spirit. Not the old man anymore, but by the inward man, the new man. And so being God-like is taking that knowledge, having a balance in it, giving it out, taking it in, being patient in it, and you start to learn how God thinks. You start to learn how God views things. And I'm going to be very honest with you. That time in my life probably had started probably about 6 months ago, where I started kind of getting a little glimpse. And I don't have the whole thing, obviously, but it was one day I was driving. I prayed during the morning while I got like a 2 hour drive. It's not 2 hour drive. It feels like it sometimes. Like a 35, 40 minute drive to work. And what it was just, it clicked, and I was like, man, how far off is my thinking from God? It just clicked, man. You read the verse, it says, He tells you. You're not going to think how I think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And, you know, I probably heard it. I've read it 1,000 times. But it finally clicked. Man, how far off am I really from God? So you got to start getting the like-mindedness of God through all the first four. And you got to do all in a row. You can't just pick and choose which one you want to do. Like, I'm going to be patient today. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be virtuous. You know, like, you can't do that. You know, and God-likeness is really taking those things and applying them to your life wholeheartedly. And after godliness, and godliness to brotherly kindness, you got to like everybody. Sorry.
No.
You got to like everybody. Because God commanded us to, right? Love thy neighbor as thyself. There isn't anybody that I love more than myself. Yeah, sorry, Zach. Zach's a close second. It's true. It's true. I told a guy that one time, and he was like, I don't really love myself that much. I'm like, really? Did you eat today? He was like, well, yeah. I'm like, why'd you eat? I was like, there's a lot of starving people out there. Why'd you eat? He was like, I don't know. I was like, because you're going to starve? You're going to die if you don't? Right? And he was like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, so how much do you love yourself now? We don't think about those things. We don't think about those things. But we're commanded to do this. We're supposed to have brotherly kindness. We're supposed to like each other. We're all in Christ. We have something in common. We have a bond that nobody else outside of these walls that is unsaved has. That's the whole point of Christianity. Being in fellowship with God, being in the family of God, with fellowship of believers. You can go anywhere in a Christian, and you're like, wow, I have something in common with you. So why do we always bicker and complain when we say, oh, I like him, I like her, and don't worry, I do it too. I have a problem with it. But you got to start caring about others before you start caring about yourself sometimes. And then the last thing it says, on the brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is just loving the people around you and manifesting that love. Not just saying it. Manifesting it. Showing it while you're saying it. I can't just tell Kelly I love her all the time and I'm always just doing my own thing. I don't clean, don't cook, not doing the laundry, not doing anything. But I love you. You know I do. You're not going to believe me. I would hope that she wouldn't believe me. She wouldn't believe me. But you have to start putting others' needs above your own in the ministry. Because in the ministry is what? People. We've heard it 1,000 times. But the brotherly kindness, you develop that likeness about somebody. You develop that love for them because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you. And you didn't look so hot either. So you gotta be able to forgive people. You gotta be able to love people. You gotta be able to help people. But why did I go through all these seven? All seven of these, it's like, okay, great, Aaron. You said, how to keep from falling. You gave us these seven things. So what's up? Let's read verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If you don't add these things to your faith, it's basically like you've forgotten what Christ done for you. If you don't start doing something in your life and adding some of these things, it's like you don't even care. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You shall never fall. And that's all I have for you guys tonight. Okay? So I hope that you were able to take it and really learn from it, because I definitely did. And I still am learning from it. But God is the only one that can keep you from falling. And if you fall, get back up. Get beat up. And learn from the mistake. And keep your perseverance going. And it'll be sure and true. Okay? Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you, Aaron, for that. Some great things there. Those seven things that Aaron talked about, those are monumental in adding those things to your Christian life. I hope you guys were able to write those down, and we'll take time to look into those further to understand exactly what he was saying there, because that is so true. You know, that's where it all starts. It all starts with just believing in God, believing that God exists, and going to him for our issues and for our problems. But then after that, you have to continue to build in your Christian life. I think that's the biggest thing that the world is missing nowadays. One, like we always have talked about, Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he even find faith? And that's a tough thing for us nowadays. It's so tough for God's people to actually trust their lives to God nowadays. Because we live in a church age, we live in a time where man has made so many things available to us to where you don't have to go to God for them. We live in a really, really comfortable society. And when you're really comfortable, you really don't rely on God for much. And that's all part of the devil's plan, to give man everything that he needs so that God does not become necessary anymore. So that's the first thing. That's why it's so tough for us to trust in God nowadays. We all have shoes. We all have clothes, multiple clothes. Most of us, except for AJ and I, have air conditioning. Right? AJ told me about his story this week. I guess his AC went out. So are they just not turning it on? Or?
It's on now.
No, okay, so they could have turned it on, but they just didn't.
Yeah.
No, wow. No, oh, never mind. No, all right, Christopher, you get up over here. You debate, and AJ, you debate. You get a positive, negative. All right, now. So, but I mean, we're super comfortable. We've got like all the luxuries of life, you know, right there at our fingertips. So it's a really tough thing for us to have faith in God. But then it doesn't stop there. Once you have faith, do you have virtue? What Aaron talked about. Will you, in no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, do the right thing? Did you know you can't do that? That's a hard thing to do unless you trust that God is in control of your life. Because why don't we do the right thing? What's one reason we don't do the right thing? We're scared, right? We're scared of what might happen if we tell the truth about this situation. If Aaron told the truth about, hey, I just broke this lever that costs $1,000, and I know he makes more than this, but he's like, you know what, and $1,000 is more than they actually pay me yearly, so they're going to get rid of me and get the part instead. You know, and so you make like a decision like that, and it's like, oh my God, I mean, if I tell them the truth, then I'm going to lose my job. But if God's in control, can't God get you another job? Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing, though. Not in Laodicea. In Laodicea, everything we've gotten in our life, we've gotten through our influences, the people that we know, our networking skills and abilities. We've gotten with our own money, or we've gotten by our own power. You see, we've never really had to rely on God. So when the opportunity comes for us to do the right thing, it's hard for us to trust in God because we've never done it up to that point. You guys see how this thing kind of works? That's the sad thing about kind of the church age that we live in. There are tons of, you know,
luxuries and pleasantries out there in life. But at the same time, guys, you got to realize that the devil's doing a lot of those things just to weaken your faith in God. He's trying to make you guys more self-reliant and less reliant upon him. So I'm not going to go back over his lesson. I really got excited thinking about some of those things. I'm going to go home and talk to the Lord about a lot of that stuff. But I really hope you guys can, if you didn't write them down, at least you can find that verse when you get home. You know, Hebrews chapter 2. Or excuse me, Hebrews chapter 2. I wasn't even listening, sorry, you just found out. No, 2 Peter chapter 1, all right? Verses 3 through, what was it, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 13? Okay, 10. All right, know where it starts. But that's really great stuff. So, I think that's all we got for tonight. You know, we're actually done pretty quick. I'm still sweating, like the fan's on and everything, man. This is hot in here, man. All right. Anybody else got anything to add to that?
Isn't the thing on Saturday from 1 to 3?
Yes, the thing on Saturday is from 1 to 3. All right. And then the car wash is July 1st, 2 weeks from now, maybe. Just give or take some.
What time is that?
What time is the car? Same time, 10 to 12 for the younger kids, 12 to 2 for the older or whatever. Most of you guys came like the whole time anyway. So, good deal. Anything crazy out there on the news you guys saw this week? Somebody at a baseball game got shot.
Republicans.
Wow. What's that all about?
The London building was on fire.
The London Bridge was on fire. Yeah.
No, not the building.
What was it?
The building, not bridge.
The building, yeah. Yeah. Anybody see those pictures and kind of think of 9/11 a little bit? Yeah, it looked kind of wild. Yeah. Yeah, it was super tall. Crazy inferno happening. Wild things happening out there in the world, man. Wild stuff. Oh. What's up, Aaron?
How did that building not fall on 9/11?
That's a good point Aaron brought up.
On how the building fell?
If you guys want to look up some conspiracies and some governmental, induced tragedies and stuff like that. Aaron just asked, how did the 9/11 Twin Towers fall down, but the London building did not fall down or whatnot? Logan has it.
Because when 9/11 happened, there was jet fuel, and jet fuel burns hotter than regular fuel.
All right, so Logan says the jet fuel.
Exactly.
What's up?
I learned, because on 9/11, we learned about it on that day. That's
cool.
I learned that.
Learned about it on 9/11? How old were you on 9/11? Were you even born?
No.
Like, you got a report right after it happened?
We learned that after buildings were built could be more reinforced.
Interesting. So AJ said the plane cut the floor at the top, and the weight from the building above it crushed it to the bottom.
It was just a
All right, so this is interesting. This is good. Stuck some nerves here. This is great.
I was in Japan.
Let's see what else can we drop for you guys to get your input. Let's see.
My mother's stomach.
What else happened this week?
There was a baby found
dead. What's their name?
I think she was.
In Kansas City?
Like,
oh, really? That's never good.
I told you.
Oh, Aaron's got another one. You had active shooter training at your work?
Yeah.
So how does that go? What do they teach you guys to do there?
What is it? Run, hide, fight.
That's right. Run, hide, or fight. That's right. So let me ask you kids this. If you guys had like an active shooter in your school, what
tornado
would
shelter.
Tornado shelter? Okay. Here, let's hear how each one of you would do it. So let's just so that we can narrow it down. Aaron said at his job, they taught them run. You can either run, flee. You can hide. All right, so barricade yourself somewhere and do like the whole hide and seek thing. Or you can fight. All right, you can meet them head on. You can charge them. So let's get some answers real quick. Amanda, your hand was up.
Okay, so when I was in middle school, we had to do drills of this like every other week. I think it was, and we did one today in summer school. But so they put these metal things on the doors so that even if they break the door open, it won't open. And then they tie jump ropes to it and tie it to something else to keep the door shut. And
they have time to do all that?
No! No! Then they put jump ropes on them and then put the youngest kid to find the door.
Wow! Wow! Oh, that's a good point. What do we do if we have a church shooting? No. You pull your gun out. That's what you do. All right. Let's get a guy real quick. Hey, Vince, what'd you say? What'd you say you would do? Let's hear it. So we heard from Amanda what she would do. So let's hear Vince's. What would you do in the case of an active shooter at school? Let's go.
We get a group and fight. Like, I get Cody.
So he mount up. You mount up, okay?
Our school says that they can't stop this, so that I can just leave.
Oh, yeah.
I just leave if it happens. Like, they try to restrain you, but if you want to leave, they're like, if a kid's running, let him run. Yeah, they can't stop me. I'll just run out. Or go up to the guy that can't help.
Yeah.
All right,
let's pray, guys. Think it's all over. They're getting ready to come in. Sorry, buddy. I know. If you guys want to hear a Christmas cold story, meet up with them after class. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Aaron shared with us tonight. Just some great characteristics and principles that we need to have in our lives, Father, so that we can look different than the world, Father. Those things that he talked about are just paramount for us to add to our lives. And just like he said, God, if we're tired of falling into the same mistakes and same traps that the devil continues to set for us, that the world sets for us, that our flesh drags us towards, Father, we've got to start applying these things to our lives so that we can avoid those pitfalls. We love you and thank you and pray and ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.